Okay? Okay, who's excited about being in the house of the Lord today? That's better. And if you want to get up and jump and shout, I'm fine with that. Well, I'm Pastor Tammy, and I'm Bob's better half. That's what they say, right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I want to say good morning, and I want to say what an honor and privilege it is to be able to share the podium. Pastor Bob gave me the morning. It was really funny. We were talking about this whole series thing, and he goes, "Why don't you preach on the mothers that fought over the child?" And I was just thinking, I don't know, that's not mine. That's not for me, you know. And so I was like, maybe I'm just not supposed to preach. But then I had a dream. I had a dream. God likes to talk to me in the night. So he woke me up in the middle of the night. I was all excited about my dream. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. First of all, I want to go back and kind of let you know we've been in a series called Rivals, and who knows that God has no rivals, amen? There is no one greater than our God, amen? There you go. I like that. And Jacqueline kicked it off with a real youth takeover. It was amazing. Who went to that? Youth. Y'all are in here this morning. Yeah, it was great. Great message. And, you know, she talked about that the rival between God and Lucifer, which Lucifer lost. He's still losing today. Amen. And then the first rivals between Cain and Abel, the first brothers that had a rival. But the takeaway that I took from that was that we're on the same team. Who else got that message? We're on the same team. And it's been really funny because as we've gone through these series, I've noticed that I keep, like, every Sunday morning or throughout the week, I catch people that are like this. And I'm thinking, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're not, just because we're preaching on rivals, it does not mean that we need to be one. Second week, Pastor Bob shared on Isaac and Ishmael, and it was called Spirit and Flesh, and it was about Isaac being born of the Spirit and Ishmael being born of the flesh. And those two nations right now are still fighting. They've been fighting since it happened, and I want to let you know that you're going to find out later in my message, that we don't want to have an Ishmael. We don't want to try to make our destiny happen by having an Ishmael. Amen. We want the real deal. We want God's destiny for our life. The third week was on Battle of the Sexes because Bob knew I was preaching this week. He was just preparing y'all for a woman to get up here and preach. No, it was really good. It was about authority. And y'all know that I'm a strong woman, right? But I learned the hard way, so I want to tell you that if we don't get up under the authority that God has given us, then we're out. It's like an umbrella. I teach it in John 10:10. If you step outside of the umbrella, you're just out here, and you're going to get pelleted by the hail and the rain and the sleet and everything that the enemy has for you. But if you step under and stay in alignment with the authority that God has put over you, then you're going to receive his blessings. Amen? So we need to do that. So this morning, I thought I'd give you a little hint, if my sweet husband can come help me with this hint, on what I'm preaching on. Let's see if y'all can guess. We'll see how well y'all know your Bible. We didn't practice this. Woo! How y'all like my coat? Thank you, honey. How y'all like my coat? I mean, how do y'all like my coat? So, I mean, is it pretty? Is it perfect? I mean, you know, when we ask God for something, he doesn't just give us something that's close. He gives us the exact thing that we need. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this message that you have given me today. And I bind up any hindrances from the enemy to clearly communicate your heart, Lord, today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to open the hearts of everyone here and watching online to receive your truth and to walk in obedience to the truth that we receive today. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. And everybody said, amen. There you go. Y'all are getting better. This guy's kind of hard to loosen y'all up. But anyway, so you guessed it, Joseph. And so I got to tell you the little backstory to this. So Bob was saying, why don't you preach on the two moms? And it just wasn't ringing with me, you know, in my spirit. And so I go to bed one night, and I've been listening to this new song called, have anybody heard Brandon Lake's new song, Coat of Many Colors? It's amazing. You're going to hear it today. But anyway, so I've been listening to this song. I go to bed, you know, about 3 o'clock in the morning is normally when God wakes me up and starts downloading. And so he downloads all this stuff to me. I wake up. I'm so excited. I'm like, I think I could preach, Bob. And I know exactly what I want to preach on. God even gave me the title. And he goes, oh, what's that? And I go, he kind of ignored me at first. But I was a little bit like Joseph. I was like, no, I know what I want to preach on. I got a word from God. And he goes, okay, what is it? And I go, the title is Pit to the Palace. And he looked at me and he goes, Tammy, there's a million sermons on that. I was like, oh, really? I thought it was just for me. Then I go talk to my daughter and said, hey, Jacqueline, I think I want to preach on Joseph. And she goes, that's what I want to close with. And I was like, but God gave me the title, it's Pit to the Palace. She goes, everybody calls it that. And I don't know, I felt like Joseph, you know what I mean? He got a dream and he went running to tell everybody his dream and they all went, bleh. It's like, bleh. And I was like, okay. I mean, you know, the devil uses the people closest to you to bring discouragement in your life. Huh? It was coming. So anyway, the hole that they threw me in. You didn't. I'm not there yet. You're getting ahead of me, Chance. Anyway, so I don't know. Sometimes you start questioning yourself. I bet Joseph did the same thing. The title of my sermon is Pit to the Palace, okay? I don't care if there's a million out there. If God gives you the title, you better go with it. Proudly. I don't care. I didn't know that. I was so excited about it. And then they were like, really? I was like, okay. So, but I needed something to confirm what he was doing. So I started looking online and I thought, I want a coat. I couldn't find anything that looked like a Joseph coat. And so I needed makeup. And so I would make a long story short, I went to Ulta to get my MAC makeup. And I'm in there and Nordstrom's is just right next door. And I was like, maybe I'll just go shopping. Maybe I need to spend some money because I'm a little discouraged, so I like to spend money. I like to go shop. Wasn't sure where God was taking it. So I'm in there and I'm looking at the purses. No, I don't want any of that. I'm looking at all this other stuff and I turn around and right behind me, hanging on this rack, is this coat. I look and I go, oh my God, that's like perfect. And I look around, there's not another one in the store. This was just for me. And that's what I call a God kiss. It's when God knows your heart and you need confirmation and he gives you exactly. Now, it was a little pricey. I was like, it could have been cheaper, Lord. Could have been free. Could have been a resale shop. That would have been okay. But no, he wanted me to have the best, something expensive that said, this is a kiss from me, Tammy. So, and all the men said, I hope this gets better. So real quick, if you have your Bibles with you, open up. So At this store, the lady at the checkout stand, I told them what I was getting the coat for. And she looked at me, she goes, I go to church. I'm Catholic. And I go, cool. She goes, I don't know the story of Joseph. And I was like, what? You don't know the story? I said, well, it's in your Catholic Bible too. It is. And so, but if you want to know, come to church. So if you're here this morning or if you show up second service, thank you. You made me decide to have to tell the whole story. So let's get your Bibles out. We got a lot to read. This is a long story. It starts in Genesis chapter 37. You skip chapter 38 and it's 39 through 46. So buckle up, kids. We got a lot to read. Genesis 37:1 says, so Jacob, also known as Israel, settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was a 17-year-old, he often attended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers and sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpha, something like that. Anyway, but Joseph reported or tattled to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. So Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. I don't know about you, but I don't read very good. I just hate reading, so let's just cut to the video.
God's story, Joseph. So part of God's story is about a guy named Joseph, and it begins like this. Once there was a guy named Joseph who had 10 older brothers and one younger one. When Joe was a boy, he was his dad's favorite. In fact, his dad liked him so much better than his brothers that he gave Joe a special gift to prove it. You can imagine this made his brothers jealous. And Joe only made things worse. He told his brothers about dreams he had where he was ruling over them. Well, this made Joe's brothers furious. One day they were working and saw Joe coming. They said, "Here comes that dreamer." They threw Joe into a dark pit. They might have left him there forever, but they met some men traveling from Egypt and sold Joe to them as a servant instead. They thought that was slightly nicer than leaving him in a pit. Then they went home and told their father Joe had been killed by a wild animal. This broke their dad's heart. Kids, these brothers were really bad news. Selling a sibling is never a good idea, ever. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joe. When Joe was a servant, he worked for a really important rich guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar liked Joe so much, he put him in charge of the whole house. Joe was happy until one day he was blamed for something he didn't do, and Potiphar sent him straight to jail. Well, God was still with Joe, even in prison. The guard decided he liked Joe so much, he put him in charge of all the other prisoners. Then God gave Joe special knowledge about dreams. When two prisoners had dreams, Joe knew what they meant, so he told them. 2 years later, Egypt's ruler called Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody knew what it meant. But by now, one of the two prisoners Joe had helped was out of jail and working for Pharaoh. He told Pharaoh about Joe, and God helped Joe figure out what Pharaoh's dream meant. But Pharaoh's dream was really more of a nightmare. It meant that everybody in Egypt would have food for 7 years, then be hungry for 7 years. Joe told Pharaoh the only way to survive was to store food during the 7 good years. Well, Pharaoh thought Joe's idea was brilliant. He put him in charge. During the 7 hungry years, nobody could eat without getting food from Joe. He was like a human vending machine. Well, remember how Joe had 11 brothers? Like everybody else, they had to get food from Joe. And when they came, they didn't even recognize their brother. But Joe knew who they were. He secretly tested them to see if they changed. After all, they did throw him in a pit and sell him. Finally, he couldn't hide who he was from his brothers anymore. He told everyone to leave the room because he was about to cry. After sobbing for a few minutes, he told them, "I'm your brother, Joseph. I'm the one you sold." The brothers couldn't believe it. They had hurt Joe, but God had taken care of him during the good times and the bad. Even with everything they had done to Joe, he forgave them because he was willing to follow God, even when it was hard. Joe told them, "You planned to harm me, but God planned it for good." And God used Joe to save many lives, including the family that was part of God's special rescue plan. And that's the story of Joseph. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Joe was his dad's favorite. His brothers sold him. Potiphar put Joe in charge. Joe was sent to jail. The guard put Joe in charge. Pharaoh had a bad dream. Joe told him what it meant. Pharaoh put Joe in charge. Joe's brothers had to come to him for food. Joe forgave them. This was part of God's rescue plan. And that's a part of God's story.
Now, if you didn't know the story of Joseph, you do now. That was much easier, right? Anyway, I want to dig a little deeper into Joe. I know that I wanted to start off with the rivals, but really God kind of led me in a different direction. And so, I used to be a children's pastor alongside Bob for years, and it's just still in my bones. But I think we learn sometimes better with children type messages. Not saying that y'all are immature or anything like that, never grown up. But anyway, let's dig a little deeper. So Joe had 11 brothers. Now, he was number 10. So that means he was number 11, so he actually had 10 older brothers. And so, I don't know about you, but we don't get to pick where we're born, but Joe was the first one of his dad's marriage to Rachel, and she was his favorite. I mean, that was his heartthrob, Jacob's heartthrob, for years. And so, I think that had a little bit to do with the fact of Joe's dynamic life that he had. But it also, let's look at the next thing. Joe was only 17 years old when God gave him these dreams. Now, at 17, the Bible talks about that he went and he tattled, basically gave a bad report on his brothers. So he went and tattled on his brothers. And I don't know about you, but I was the baby of four. And so when my older brother was 8 years older than me, so I was really bad at when they did something wrong when I was little, I'd go run and tattle. And I bet that's the way Joe was. And so my brothers and sisters, they hated me because everything I ever did, I'd be like, Mom, did you know that they did this? Of course, I didn't do it. They did it, right? You know, so as I got older, though, they talked me into saying, hey, if you'll just keep your mouth shut, none of us will get in trouble. So it was probably better when I tattled. But anyway, I can just relate and understand how they could have been very jealous of that, and they could have been angry at him for tattling on them and reporting to their dad everything. But Joe was also his dad's favorite, the Bible says. Now, it says that Jacob loved Joe more than any of his other children. I don't know about you, but if you're the other children, that's not a great place to be. And the Bible specifically says that Joe loved Joseph more. So what did he do? Jacob, Joseph, it gets confusing in your head or in my head, but Jacob's the dad, Joe is the son, okay? So Jacob gave his son Joe a special coat, a coat of many colors. And all this did was fuel the flames in the boys, like they already know that their dad loves this brother more, and now he's given them this special coat that I can just imagine Joe's got this coat, and he's just parading it around in front of them going, look at these threads I got. Dad loves me more than he loves you, because he was only 17. He was still stupid. And if you're in here and you're in youth, you'll realize when you get in your 25 to 30 that you get smarter. Right now you think you're the smartest person in the world. And I'm sure that Joe did too at 17. So he showed off his coat. But the thing that, one time I used to do that and be boastful. In fact, that's why I kind of got up and showed off the coat this morning, was because I just wanted to show it's real easy to get something special and feel special and then run out and tell everybody how special you are. And boy, we can get in a trap like that. Amen? To tell you the truth, it wasn't Joe's fault that he was favored. It wasn't Joe's fault that he was born. He didn't get to pick his birth. He didn't get to pick his sex. You don't get to pick those things. They just happen. And when I was growing up and my brothers would get mad at me or my sister, I would always go, I can't help it that I'm my parents' favorite. I was the favorite too. And so I was like, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. I just am blessed. I'm sure Joe was just like that. I'm just blessed. It's not my fault. I can't help it. But sometimes we can become prideful and boastful. So what happens next in the story? Joe has a dream. In fact, Joe has two dreams. So what does he do? I don't know about you, but when I get a dream, just like that one that I got when I went to bed I'm supposed to preach on Joseph, I go right out and go blabbering it. And I'm thinking, I learned a lot from this studying this. Like, Tammy, you should keep your mouth shut a little longer sometimes. And you should just ponder on that dream and not go telling everybody you see, because they're not on the same page with you. And I'm like, okay. Because sometimes if you tell your dream too quick, people will come and discourage you. So Joe had two dreams. So we're going to look at the story and learn what not to do. I want to do a little exclaimer. Here's one of the things. My husband, he was looking over my notes for Life Group, and he added a few things, and I'm reading through the thing, and I was like, oh, that was good. Then I read through another one and saw it. And I heard the Lord say, well, you can either learn and receive from your husband, or you can go, now this is my message. So I went, I'm going to receive from my husband because it's going to be good for you. And he said, amen and amen. He's like, got his Bible up here. It's with all dreams and visions, anything, any words that we get from the Lord that we feel like it's from the Lord, we need to check them and make sure they're from the Lord. So that's not going to be on the screen because that was one of my husband's wisdom that he imparted. We do need to check and make sure that the dreams that we have are from God because the enemy can give us dreams too. Amen? So first his dream was about his brothers bowing down to him and that someday he was going to be king. Now, I don't know. You don't go tell your older brothers and sisters. That's boasting again. You already know they don't like you so much. I mean, you can feel it when people have animosity towards you. So don't go feed the beast. That's what I want to tell you this morning. If you know somebody is jealous of you or has issues with you, don't go feed the beast and try to make them more jealous. But Joe was only 17. So then he has a second dream. And then he goes and runs and tells again. He runs and tells his dad that, hey, Dad, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars are going to bow down before me, you know? And his dad's like, oh, so you think your mom and I are going to go bow down before you and your brothers? Like, I don't think so. I'm the dad here, right? This is Jacob. But the thing that I like about what the Bible records is it says that Jacob wondered what the dream meant. So Jacob had a relationship with the Lord long enough that he knew that he might have known that those dreams were true. He didn't understand what it meant, but he wondered. So I have a feeling he was asking God, what does that mean, you know, in the long term of the situation? So four takeaways. Be patient. This is important. Timing is everything for your dream. If you want your dream to come true, the vision that God has given you, then you need to be patient. Just because God gives you a dream doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow or the way you think it's going to happen. Most of the time, it will not happen the way you think it's going to happen. I guarantee you when Joe got those dreams, he did not know what the future held for him. And that was the last thing he expected. Because as we go through this, you're going to see that. Be humble. Don't be bragging and boasting, because that's the exact thing that got Lucifer in trouble from the very beginning. Because bragging and boasting produces pride. It comes from pride. Be careful who you tell. The enemy doesn't want God's dreams for your life to come true. So he will use people to cast doubt and discouragement on your dreams. So be careful who you tell. It's okay if you tell people, but you need to tell people that you feel like, because you want somebody to encourage you. You want to tell people that you can trust, that are feeding into your life, that you feel like are going to encourage you, not somebody that's going to pull you down. Amen? And don't give up. Joe was 17 when he got the dreams. Joe was 30 when he stepped before Pharaoh, when the dream started to become a reality. So 13 years, God, you were right, 13 years passed from the dream to where he stood before Pharaoh. Okay? So we don't want to give up. I have a dream and a vision that God has given me, and I feel like I should have marked the date because I feel like it's probably going on 20 years. And I'm like, Lord, really? I'm getting old. Are you sure you're going to fulfill this thing before I die? But, so anyway, I might be living a little longer because I haven't seen it happen yet. Okay, what happens next in Joe's story? He ends up in a pit. How many of you have ever been in a pit before? Some of y'all are lying. That ain't enough hands. Now, pits can be different. They look a lot of different ways. How many of you have been in a pit before? Yeah, that's better. So his dad, once again, his dad asked Joe to go out and check on his older brothers. What does that sound like? Tattling. Go back, check on your brothers, and bring me back a report. All that's going to do is make those older brothers mad, right? So what does Joe do? He's like, sure, Dad, I'll go out and check on them. So he goes out to look for his brothers. What does he wear? Because I know he had his coat on, because the Bible says they recognized him from a distance. So from far off, he had a bright coat. Probably nobody had one like him. He has his coat on. He's probably happy. He's probably feeling all good, looking for his brothers. And they see him from a distance. Now, that was probably quite a ways away, because after they recognize him, it says they planned to kill him. So they had to make these plans from the time they saw him till the time that he got to him. So the Bible says they planned to kill him. But his older, wiser brother, Reuben, came to his rescue. Let's not kill him, it says. Let's throw him into an empty cistern or a pit here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. So that way we can kill him, but we will be innocent of his blood. I don't know, there's something sick about that. But in truth, Reuben had a plan to come back and get him, because he was older and wiser, and he knew killing his brother wasn't the right thing to do. So Joe arrives, and immediately the first thing the brothers do is they rip the coat off of him. It's because they hated that coat. You know why they hated the coat? Because every time they saw that coat, it reminded them of the rejection that they had from their father. That's what I believe. So they ripped the coat off of him, and they threw him in this empty cistern. Now, also I want to say there was 10 against 1. Because Benjamin was his little brother, and he wasn't out there. So 10 brothers against 1. I got this little story just to throw in here really quick. When you have older brothers and sisters that are bigger than you, they can make you do a lot of things you don't want to do. I remember one time when I was a kid. Well, I was probably in high school, but I had an older brother that was tall, about 6'2", and he was strong. And so he wanted me to clean up his apartment and his dirty dishes. Now, these dishes had been in the sink with water, gross stuff growing in there all over the cabinet for weeks. And he was like, clean my kitchen. And I go, I'm not going to. He goes, yeah, you will. We had these big holly bushes in our front yard, the kind with the 5 needles in them. Not the little wimpy ones, the big ones. They're hard. It's like needles. He picked me up because I wouldn't do it and threw me in the sticker bush, the holly bush. And I cleaned his kitchen. So they can make you do things you don't want to do. Have y'all ever had to do something you didn't want to do? Amen. So let's keep going on to because I really do relate with Joe. Beth Moore has a book titled Getting Out of the Pit. I highly suggest it if you've never read it. It's an old book. I mean, it's been out for years, but it's really good. It's on audio, and she says there's 3 ways we find ourselves in a pit. I see Michelle back there. I gave you that book after your life went changed in a day, right? And it says we get thrown in like Joe. Joe didn't jump in a pit. He wasn't trying to get in the pit. He wasn't even thinking of a pit. His brothers threw him in the pit. And some of you have been, because of circumstances in your life, like Michelle, find yourself in a pit. So there is a way, but we still have to help ourselves get out of the pit, okay? So thrown in the pit, slipped in the pit by accident, means we have sin in our life or whatever. We're not really trying to get in a pit. We're not trying to sin. We're not enjoying the sin. But because of sin in our life, we find ourselves in a pit. And the other one is we jump in on purpose. Oh, I've done this before. All of y'all are looking at me like deer in headlights, like y'all have never done this. It's you know that what you're doing is wrong. You like what you're doing because sin can be fun. And so you continue to do it, and you find yourself in a pit. And maybe you get out of the pit and you're thinking, oh man, I got out of the pit, I'm good. But you liked it, so you jump back in. Or you're so used to living in the pit that you don't know how to live on the outside because you've never been healed. But we got John 10:10 ministry for that. And I'm just going to tell you, that'll help you learn how to get out of the pit, how to stay out of the pit, and how to be living an abundant life for Jesus. Amen? So what do we need to do when we find ourselves in a pit? We need to have a good attitude. No moaning, groaning, and complaining. I'm sure that Joe, while he was down in that pit, was thinking, what, why me, Lord? What the heck did I do to do this? It's not my fault, Lord. But we need to keep a good attitude, okay? So if you're in the pit and you have a bad attitude, find some way to swing that attitude, as Pastor Bob would say. Is that right? Swing that thing, yeah. Okay. Then the other thing you need to do is look up. Look up. And that represents God. Do not look at the walls of the pit. Do not look at the situation that you're in. Keep your eyes fixed on God, the only one who can deliver us from the pit. Amen? So we need to recognize our pit. We need to first recognize how we got in the pit in the first place. What God may be teaching us while we're in the pit. See, he always uses those things in our lives to teach us, to work things out of us. And I believe that's what all this was for. God was positioning Joseph, but he was also using it, I believe. The Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail, but I believe he was working things out of Joe that needed to be worked out because of the destiny that he had for him. Let's look at what happened next to Joe. So not only did he get thrown in a pit, but then he gets sold as a slave. I don't know. It's a bad life, right? Joe's in the cistern. His brothers are eating. They're just, like, can you imagine? Your brother's over there in a pit, and you're just sitting there eating your food. Probably talking about, ha, 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 love you. See, Joe, he's down there in the pit now. He doesn't got that coat anymore. I mean, they were probably, I'm just thinking of probably what some brothers would do if they were jealous, full of jealous, anger, and rage. Amen? So then the salesman comes by. Where's the salesman from? He's from Egypt. He's headed to Egypt. And so Judah, one of the brothers said, I have this great idea. He goes, let's not leave Joe in the cistern to die. Let's sell him. Thanks, bro. Can you imagine? Let's sell him as a slave. Then we won't have his blood on us. So basically, it's like, let's sell him. We'll get him out of our life, but we don't have to kill him, and so we don't have to feel guilty about it. I don't know about you, but, like, thanks for having brothers that love you. You know, we have people in our lives like that all the time. You know, I have my family disown me, so to speak, over something that was not my, I mean, I was trying to help my mom, take care of my mom, but they got mad at me and they don't talk to me anymore. And I'm telling you, when I first heard it on a recording, how they really felt, because God is so good. When he wants to let you know something, he reveals the whole thing. And so, to make a long story short, I got a recording on my phone that was my brother's and my sister actually kind of doing what Joseph's family did. I was headed to a wedding and they were talking about how bad they hated me and how they were gonna kill me and all this stuff. And I'm like listening to it on the phone going, I had no idea. I had no idea. Maybe Joe had no idea how bad his brothers really hated him. I'm sure he didn't. And it breaks your heart when it happens. But you got to keep going. You got to keep going. You can't let those kind of instances in your life stop you from reaching the dream and destiny that God has for you. Amen? Stuff's going to happen along your lifeline that's going to throw you in a pit, cause you to feel like you're in slavery. But I'm telling you, you have to overcome it. Otherwise, you're going to die right there. So I did that. I just had to say, okay, Lord, heal my heart. If they want to come back and be in relationship with me, I love them. I had to walk through forgiveness with them. And today, if they said, hey, Tammy, I want you to be part of my life, I would be back part of their life. Now, you can set boundaries so that you don't have to be hurt again, but you've got to deal with the unforgiveness. Amen? So in slavery, he ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard of the king of Egypt. So God was positioning Joe to fulfill his dream. So God was with him, and God gave him favor. Everywhere in the Bible, every time it talks about Joseph, it talks about how God was with him and God gave him favor. God was with him and God gave him favor. And so what does Joe do while he's in slavery to Potiphar? He has a servant's heart. So one of the ways that we fulfill our destiny is no matter what situation we're in, we become a servant. And we serve out of a grateful heart. We serve out of a good heart. We don't serve like, oh my gosh, I got this job to do. I got to do Potiphar's stuff. I hate this. Rah, rah, moan, groan, complain. That's many times what we do. That's the natural bent to, is moan, groan, and complain. But we need to adopt a servant's heart, that we're doing what God's called us to do, and we do it at the best of our ability. And so this is the situation I am in. How am I going to make lemons out of lemonade? How am I going to change this to where I'm happy, I have joy in the midst of my circumstances? Amen? Attitude. We got to have an attitude of a servant. And when we do that, the thing that I love about it is God will promote us and give us blessings. So everywhere Joe ended up, he was promoted and he had blessings. And I got to hurry, hurry, hurry. So, but the enemy has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy our lives, right? And so Potiphar's wife had an eye out for Joe, and she's looking at him, and she's literally like, come sleep with me. Come have sex with me. I like you. And Joe's like, no, no. This is the thing that kills me about this story. Joe actually does the right things. He says, no, I'm not doing it. My master has made me over everything in the house but you, and I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole, so to speak. But as you go further down, so Joe passed the integrity test and the purity test, because he told her no several times, because every day she would come after him. And so, but, everybody say big buts. God likes big buts. But one day, this is huge. One day, no one was around when he went to do his duties. No one was around. It was just him and Potiphar's wife. Now, bam, that's a guardrail. That we know. Pastor Bob has taught on that so many times. Bam. Right? It's a guardrail. You know why it's a guardrail? Because he knew to stay away from her. The Bible even says that he did stay away from her. But he got there, and I can just see Joe right now going, oh, man, I need to go do my chores. And where is everybody? Did they take a holiday or something? Nobody's here. Oh, well, it won't just hurt one time. Can I tell you, the Bible says that the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking to see who he can devour. And he's looking for that little open door, that crack in your armor where you let your guard down to go, bam! And so there was nobody there to witness it. And so what does he do? She makes advances toward him, and he runs. He does the right thing. He runs away from her, but he leaves his coat behind. I'm here to tell you that if you get caught in a situation, don't leave anything behind. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And let me also add this to it. If you will deal with it and go through, you have stuff that you've left behind if you still have not dealt with your stuff of your past. That's what John 10:10 ministry is for. I just want to push it one more time. I'm telling you, it will help you deal with your past so that you can be productive and complete what God has called you to do. Amen? I got to go. quickly. So then Joe was falsely accused, and he could have become a victim. I mean, each time he's a victim in this situation. So I want to tell you, if you are have been a victim in a situation, you can still overcome it. But because if you don't, you will become a victim all your life. If you do not overcome it, if you accept that victim spirit, which happened to Joe. Joe was a victim of circumstances. He left his coat behind. So there was nobody there to say whether she was telling the truth or Joe was telling the truth. And the enemy will use that, and typically the one that's lying will be the one they believe. But God will use it for his glory. So he ends up in prison. Now he has a choice. Do I get bitter? Do I have unforgiveness? How do I respond? Do I respond with anger and rage, with a critical self-pity spirit, why me all the time? And do I get hard-hearted to where God won't deal with me? I won't let God deal with me? Church, that is not what we want to do. And that's not really what Joe did. That's what I love with it. We got to deal with these emotions. They're emotions that are real emotions that come in our life. We got to come to terms with that God is still in control no matter what has happened to us. He knows what is going on, and he knows what it's going to take for us to reach our God-given destiny, our dreams. So I believe God is working on Joe's weaknesses while he's in these places. And that so that he, when he gets to where God wants him, he won't fail in the destiny that God has for him. See, if God doesn't work some of this stuff out of us, when we get all what he's wanting to bless us with into the destiny, we'll fail at it because we'll have all these things that we didn't ever deal with that'll come up. So God still gives Joe favor. He's still faithful. He's teaching him his faithful love in the midst of all this. That God's still with him. That God still gives him favor. That God still promotes him. Then the next thing you know, he finds himself in prison. So I'm just skipping all that. We're going to prison now. We're actually already in prison. Because she lies. She gives false reports. He ends up in prison. Now he's in prison, in the king's prison, the Egyptian king, he's in his prison, and the cupbearer and the cake baker end up in prison. They have two dreams. They both have dreams, and Joe's able to interpret them. So God gives him gifts while he's in prison. He gives him the gift of interpretation of dreams. And then Joe tells him, the one thing I like is Joe's like, I'm down here. When you get before the king, remember me. Now, this is probably where I'd be like, that's my last straw, Lord. Really? Like, I've been in a pit. I've been a slave. Now I'm in prison. And the cupbearer is getting out of here. So he's going to tell Pharaoh about me. 2 years later, after the cupbearer gets out, he totally forgets about Joe down there in prison. Like, not a pretty place. It's not like our prisons. So for 2 more years, Joe is down there. And I just can't imagine. There's something God was definitely working out of him. But finally, when the time is right, exactly God's timing. God knew what he was going to use Joseph for, and he knew the exact timing. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. He's got wise men, magicians, none of them can interpret it. But Joe can. So the cupbearer goes, guess what? There's a guy down there in prison that interpreted our dreams, and they came true, exactly like he said. Let's go get him. So the Pharaoh, one thing I love, when God's timing is right, immediately the Pharaoh had him come up. The king had him come up before him. And the thing that I love about the story is that because God had so much favor and wisdom, so this whole time that Joe was in all these situations, God was working on wisdom, leadership, getting the pride, humility in his life, all these things, so that when he came before the Pharaoh, and then the king put him in charge of the whole, all of his land, everything. He was second to the king is where he ended up. When he did that, Steph, you can come on up. The band can come on up. When he did that, he did it like that. So I don't know where you guys are in your dreams. I know that God has given every one of us a dream, a destiny, a purpose. Every last one of us has that. If you're a child of God, then you have a dream from God. And I don't know how long you've been waiting on some of your dreams to come forth. And maybe you don't even know your dream yet. But God can take you from the pit to the palace like that. How long it takes, a lot of times, depends on us. A lot of times it depends on us. It always depends on us. But it also depends on God's timing and us stepping in to what he's calling us to do. And some of you have callings that God has given you, and what's holding you back are those things that you're not willing to deal with and let go of. See, it's hard. Some of the stuff we like to do what we're doing that's holding us back. But I think that God will give you time. But at some point, he's going to say, I'm ready. You got to make this choice. Are you going with the vision and the dreams that I have for you, or are you going to do your own thing? So if we could have the worship team come up. I want to ask you, I'm going to read one last verse. It's Genesis 45:4. It says, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourself. Now, he's talking to his brothers that sold him into slavery, that had been mean to him. Don't be upset with yourselves for selling me to this place, into this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. So God sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will neither be plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was with God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. It was God. So during that time of wrestling, one of the things that Joseph had to do to pass the test when his brothers came to him was walk into total forgiveness. And if you're harboring unforgiveness for somebody that has caused you to be in a pit or feel in bondage to, or you're victimized by, it doesn't matter how you have unforgiveness. It just matters that you let it go and get rid of it. Because if Joe hadn't have been able to forgive his brothers, then he wouldn't have been able to walk into his destiny, I don't believe. Forgiveness is the key to all freedom. It's the key to all freedom. And it doesn't matter what anybody's done to us. If Jesus can do this for us, for my sin, if he can love us that much, then we can forgive those that have hurt us. Because he didn't do anything. Yeah, maybe Joseph didn't do a lot, but Joseph was prideful. Joseph had some issues. Jesus did not, and he still died for us. So this morning, I want you to all bow your heads. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to tell you, this is the best day of your life. If you haven't done that, I want you to raise your hand right now. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand right now. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And raise it high, be loud and proud, because I can't see. If you're watching me online and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to say this prayer with me. Father God, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I realize I'm a mess and I need a Lord. And so, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, and that you rose from the dead 3 days later and defeated hell for me. And I accept you, Lord, as my Savior and my Lord. Today, in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Secondly, amen, amen. Angels celebrating right now in heaven. Secondly, you see, we all have dreams, destiny, and God's purpose. Maybe you don't know what your purpose is. You're like, I know I'm saved. I've asked Jesus my life, but I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what dreams. God's not giving me any dreams. I don't have a destiny. I have no clue what he wants to do. If that's you, then I'm going to ask you to come forward in just a minute, because I believe God will begin to start answering that for you. Maybe you know what your God dream is, and you just gotten tired waiting for it to happen like me, and you just need a little encouragement from God. Well, then that would be you. You need to confirm it, that it's not a your dream, it's a God dream, and you need God to confirm that with you this morning. Actually, if you could just lower those house lights, that'd be great. Maybe you need to repent, forgive, or lay something down that has gotten in the way of your God dream. For me, that's what I had to do. Just this last week, lay something down that I believe has gotten in the way of my God dream. So maybe that's you. We can be a Christian a long time, and we can be a Jesus follower and still have things in our life that God's going to get to the next level. You got to give that up. Maybe you just need to agree with what God's plan is for your life and step into the God dream and destiny that God has for you. If any of those things I just said, we're going to sing a song. It's a brand new song, if the worship team will come. It's called Coat of Many Colors. It says, red was the blood that saved me. White was the light that pulled me from the dark. Gold was the crown you placed upon my head to show me who you are. Mercy and grace, I've been embraced like no other. I gave you my heart, but you gave me a coat of many colors to just show me how much you love me, how faithful you are. See, the coat Jacob gave Joseph was to show him how much he loved him. And God has a coat for you with unconditional favor. He's always with us in unconditional love. So as they begin to sing this song, I just want to invite you to come down forward, and we'll pray at the end.